Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Doug Field, CEO of the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism, and welcome to this week's edition of Healthcare Consumerism Radio. And joining me in studio today is radio producer Jonathan Field. Good morning, Jonathan.
Hey, good morning.
And joining us from the sandy beaches of Destin is co-host Ron Bachman. Ron, good morning.
Sandy, sunny, good morning to you.
We got a springtime day here in Atlanta, Georgia. It's going to be 63 degrees here. So any of our listeners up there in Minnesota or Boston, sorry about that. we've got a great program today, and we're warming up for next week's trip of all of us out to Dallas. And any of our listeners who are going to join us there, look forward to a great event. Private Exchange Forum kicks open with our pre-cons next Tuesday, the 23rd, at the Embassy Suites and Frisco Conference Center North Dallas. And, in fact, our guests today are two of our sponsors and speakers. Well, our first guest will be Brian Dudzik with Bloom Health, one of the leading private exchange platforms. And Brian's going to be talking about the middle market, which is one of the panels he's going to be featured on at Private Exchange Forum. And then following Brian will be Jake Clear with New Benefits. New Benefits is one of the leaders in non-insurance benefits, from telehealth to lifestyle benefits to advocacy and transparency. So, yeah, he'll also be participating on a panel around that subject matter with us at Private Exchange Forum. And again, both of them are sponsors, and we thank them for that. And, you know, we thank our lead sponsors, ADP and WageWorks, our two gold sponsors, for being with us in Dallas as well. But we're excited about that, right, Jonathan?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ron will be out there and leading our certified healthcare consumerism certification course. I think we're all excited to be in Dallas, right, Ron?
Yeah, I think we've got a good class. I'm looking forward to the training and teaching and interacting with the folks out there in the pre-conference on the certification program. Everybody comes in thinking they know about healthcare consumerism, but I think they leave with some new thoughts and ideas of what maybe they had considered before that really is part of healthcare consumerism, or how it all sort of feeds together. So it's always a fun event. And those who have never signed up and taken the course at one of our other events, I encourage them to do so.
Yeah, we're really interested in, I think the listeners out there are going to join us. It'll be an interesting discussion to take place. I think there's been some interesting movement in the exchange market. There may be, some would say, maybe a little pullback in 2015, but I think we're right now in the busy time of people trying to figure out what they want to do for 2017 plan year. So, you know, I think, Jonathan, you talk about this a lot, that what we want to come out of the Private Exchange Forum is real data, real what's happening or what's not happening, you know, and what's the emergence of, you know, building out that total consumer experience. So, you know, we're going to kick off the event with four of the leading consultants and advisors. That always sets a nice tone for the event, giving us some, you know, unbiased or objective opinion, because none of them own exchanges, and they're deeply involved with all the various stakeholders. So that'll be a nice kickoff, you know, to the event. So if you're not going to be with us in Dallas, keep in mind and follow us, because you'll be able to access videos of the general sessions within probably two weeks or so after the event. So you can get all of that and much more at the IHC University, which is our learning center on healthcare consumerism, so you can access those videos. So if you can't be there, check back with us in a couple weeks on our site. We're also busy at work, you know, while we're going to kick off Dallas, we're busy at work on IHC Forum and Expo, which is our major event, 1,000-plus attendees expected May 24th to 26th here in Atlanta, Georgia, for IHC Forum and Expo. Great program coming together there. Ron, talk a little bit about, you know, the opening wellness keynote and the group that's kind of behind us a little bit on that.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. We've got a representation from about 40 of Atlanta's largest companies focused on wellness. So I know the event is going to include an awful lot of information, a lot of different areas. Wellness sort of feeds its way through most benefit designs these days. Everybody's got some kind of a wellness program they put in. But there are a lot of new ideas, a lot of new thoughts, and you have different issues that come up if you're in manufacturing, or if you're in technology, or you're in some finance area, people are finding different ways to reach people, to encourage wellness activities, to for their participation, for their engagement. How do you reward and incentivize people? How do you do things differently? This is a great event because people really come to the IHC forums to find out what's new, what's exciting, what's different, what's working. Most people have tried something, and certainly in the wellness area, that's true. A lot of people have tried some wellness programs, and they may not have gotten the full benefit that they would like out of those programs. Well, now you're going to get to hear details and explanations from companies that are probably going to be in your industry. One of these four companies, I'm sure, is facing something similar to what your company may have been going through. So if you're listening and haven't signed up or haven't prepared yet to come in May to Atlanta, it's going to be a great event, and you'll not only learn about wellness. You know, we talked about that, give it some attention, but there's so much more that goes on. It's our keynote presentation each year. It's the biggest presentation, and there's going to be a lot of ideas there from more on exchanges in May to also to issues on the rewards and incentives, transparency, consumer-driven healthcare plans, HSAs, all sorts of information. So if you're looking for the latest and greatest, it's really the event you have to be at.
Yeah, and there'll be 70-plus quality companies there, you know, talking about their innovative solutions in our innovation showcase. And so it'll cover the A to Z, healthcare consumerism, and, you know, telehealth, healthcare access, all the things above that Ron just talked about. And right now is the budget-conscious time to register. Our super saver rate's $99 for employers and advisors. We try to make it very economically feasible for you to join us there, because we know you have budget constraints. So if you sign up now, what, before March 4th?
March 4th. So it's actually just 2 weeks from today.
Yeah,
so you want to get the $99 rate, sign up, you know, next week or the week after.
And our forum site, again, is theihccforum.com, where you can also see our remaining, all our events for this year. You know, we kick off in Dallas in February, then we move to Atlanta in May, in Baltimore with our second private exchange forum, first week of September. And then we go out the day after election, which would be an interesting time for IHC Forum West, the 9th to the 10th.
Yeah, and we actually have registration open currently for all of our events, all four simultaneously right now. Again, if you can't make it to Dallas, of course, you can watch the videos that we mentioned earlier in the segment. But, you know, we're going to be flipping over a lot of the content from Dallas into Baltimore, the September event, and then updating it, you know, for just preceding the open enrollment season. But, you know, a lot of our faculty speakers that have been with us at a lot of our private exchange events be back with us in Baltimore. So, you know, go to our website now, sign up for our flagship event in May, $99 for the next 2 weeks. And, you know, add on Baltimore, it's also just $99 right now.
And one thing as you follow our events, you're going to see continue to evolve that we really try to stay focused on is not only the innovation that Ron talked about that is discussed and the discussion among all stakeholders, but we're striving to get much more case studies at our events, having employers, even the clients bringing employers coming themselves, really talking about what they're doing within in their organization. Same with health plans, you know, case studies from health plans and talking about, you know, what they were doing. So, again, to our audience out there that's going to join us in Dallas, we really thank you and look forward to seeing you as sponsors, attendees, and speakers, and thank you for, you know, your participation and look forward to seeing the remaining part of our audience in May at IHC Forum and Expo. Now let's welcome our first guest, who was also a speaker and sponsor at our Dallas event coming up, Brian Dudzik, Business Development Lead at Bloom Health, one of the leading private exchange platforms. Brian, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
We're great. Nice to have you on the program. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you so much for having me, and look forward to the event next week. It should be exciting to meet a lot of the folks that are interested in the private exchange market, and really just to kind of get an understanding from an industry perspective, you know, where things are at and where things are moving, what the mindsets are of our broker consultant partners and employers as well.
Yeah, I think it's an exciting time in this marketplace that, you know, there's a lot of pin up what I call need to know. People are trying to scratch their head and say, you know, should we, could we? If so, what should we? But talk a little bit before we jump right into kind of talking about the middle market, which is one of the panels you're going to be showcased on, Brian. Give our audience a little background on Bloom Health, please.
Sure. Well, so Bloom Health is a private exchange technology company. We're based out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, founded early on 2009, was really one of the pioneers in terms of a private exchange solution that we rolled out to the market. Over those past 6 years, we have evolved a lot, and I think that's kind of indicative of what has gone on in the private exchange market as well. Year over year, month over month, it has evolved. So we have evolved with that growing need from our partners and employers. We currently work with 7 different health plans across the country. Some of the largest health plans in the country are our partners, and we private label our solution for those health plans as they go out to market their private exchange solution. I primarily work with one of our large health plan partners on the East Coast and work with their sales and account management teams day in and day out to get a better understanding of, from their clients' perspectives, what they're looking at doing, where they're looking at in terms of private exchange, if that's a road that they want to go down, and how do we start to facilitate that transition where the market is starting to go. And I heard you talk a little bit earlier how, you know, there, you know, it's kind of initially we saw a lot of interest and things potentially have started to subside, but I think that the interest is already there. The people are starting to move forward, and I think that you're going to all see that gradual increase in interest and adoption as we move into 2016, 17, and 18.
Yeah, I think you're right, Brian. You know, one, I was on a webinar recently, and out of the large audience that we had on that webinar, I think a key number was, you know, 64% of the benefit lead, you know, executives on that on that webinar said they were trying to figure out whether an exchange was right for them. That's a big number. That's not saying they're not saying no to exchange. They're saying, hey, they need to figure it out and very interested in figuring it out. So talk a little bit about the middle market, which most of us, you know, predict is going to be one of the fast moving markets, you know, and so tell us what you see in the middle market and you know, why you would see their interest in a private exchange solution.
Sure. Well, you know, when you look at the middle market, and you know, we've all seen over the past few years Accenture provide their year-over-year study on the growth in private exchanges and their predictions of where the growth is going to be going in 2016 and 17. And what was different about what they mentioned in their survey last year was that they saw initially you had a lot of growth and adoption for private exchanges on, you know, the very large jumbo employer market. So those national accounts, you know, 5,000 employees and above. And then you also, you know, saw that more in the small group market, the 100 and below. But then when you look at moving in 2016 and 17, you really are seeing that growth and adoption going to be happening in that middle market. So, and I kind of define the middle market as, you know, maybe 100 employees to a couple thousand employees. Mm-hmm. And really those employers are looking at a private exchange solution, I think from 3 different aspects. You know, they're looking at it, one, from, you know, does this help in terms of a cost perspective? Two, from an administrative perspective, knowing that, you know, the administration of benefits year over year is becoming more and more complex. So does moving to this type of solution help ease that administrative complexity and ease? And then also from a compliance standpoint. So when you look at things like the ACA reporting requirements that all large employers have to do for the IRS and for plan year 2015 and going forward, does a private exchange solution bring, you know, those type of compliance services into the solution. So when you look at those three things, the middle market is really now starting to say, you know what, I've heard about private exchanges 2 years ago. I learned more about them. They're evolving. My needs are evolving. Now I think is the time really to start to take that leap forward. So I think that's what you're starting to see in that middle market.
And for the middle market, Brian, you know, that's primarily single carrier models, right, for the middle market? Is that correct, or how do you see that?
Yeah, I would see that. So when you look at the middle market and the private exchange solutions out there, the carriers that we work with, and I think carriers in general, feel that in order to provide, you know, be a part of a private exchange solution in that market space, that they would rather have that as a single carrier solution. It isn't really till you reach a much larger group size that the carriers are wanting to be a part of a multi-carrier solution. And what I mean by multi-carrier solution is more of an offering where an employee has the choice between, you know, two or three or four different medical carriers. But what we are starting to see as well is carriers are saying, you know what, if I am the single carrier in this geographical location, but there may be another medical carrier that houses another part of that employee's population. So you may see multiple carriers, but you may not necessarily see in that middle market multiple carriers competing for that member's business.
Yeah, and then the mid-market employer and their advisors can really focus on surrounding that single carrier health plan with some of the other, you know, voluntary supplemental health and some of the other emerging parts of an exchange like telehealth and transparency and et cetera, correct?
Yeah, so when you're looking at it, knowing that it's, you know, going to be with a single medical carrier, and, you know, we've all seen the statistics out there, when an employer is going into a private exchange solution, they're going into that solution and are going to be having more plan choice. So from prior to, they may have had two or maybe three plan offerings. They now may have six plans, eight plans, 10 plans, depending on the solution that they're going toward. And what you're seeing, the data from all of the private exchange vendors, for the most part, is roughly about two-thirds of the employees that go into a private exchange and now that are getting expanded choice options from a medical perspective, they're buying down coverage. So they're buying down from potentially a $1,000 deductible plan to a $2,500 deductible plan. So with that, that means that employee has more risk. They, you know, they have more skin in the game. So how, from a private exchange perspective and an employer perspective, do you build a solution to say, if you're going to potentially buy down coverage and have more, you know, risk exposure in terms of deductible amounts, you know, how can you supplement that with other lines of coverage, such as, you know, voluntary products as well? And then from a medical perspective, how do you look at adding in some of those things that are going to help that employee better choose care, access care? So it could be wellness programs, it could be telemedicine program, it could be getting a little more strategic in terms of the plan designs. Maybe you want to see if that carrier is offering an ACO option or a more narrow network option that helps kind of better medically manage that member and provides them with a much more aggressive premium for that plan that they're buying.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, Brian. Ron, you got a question for Brian?
Brian.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, the line was breaking up down here in Florida, I guess. Brian, can you give our audience a little bit of an idea of the types of carriers that are in your network, regional, national carriers, and if people are intending to select one over the other, and for what purposes might they be looking at a regional versus a national carrier?
So Bloom Health primarily partners with our health plans in a single carrier model. So the carriers that we have as part of the Bloom Health platform, and all of these health plans private label their solution out in their particular marketplace. So you look at Anthem, you know, one of the big three or four right now, but going to be big three, HCSE, which is Blue Cross of Illinois and Texas, Blue Cross of Michigan, Blue Cross of Minnesota, and then Medica. So I'll talk specifically about the Blue Cross of Minnesota and then Medica, because they're both in the same geographical area, and we provide the same solution for them. And they're competitors at the end of the day, where we're providing them a single carrier solution, but they're competitors. So you look at, you know, what are those two organizations doing? So you look at someone like a medical or other regional health plans that are going up against, you know, the big managed care organizations, whether it's United or Aetna or Cigna or Blue Cross plan. You're seeing the regional health plans starting to want to take a little more creative approach to their private exchanges. So we do have an active ACO model built for our plan with Medica, and they found that to be very successful. We launched that in 2012, and they went out and worked with six of the strongest hospital systems in Minnesota and built an ACO network. And from that, they have exclusively provided that ACO option through their private exchange. So now that is a differentiator that a Medica is going out to market and talking with their potential brokers and employer groups about going to them rather than going to another carrier. And I think that as carriers start to look at, you know, year over year starting to evolve their solution, they're starting to see more and more what is going on in the market, and they're making their adaptations more quickly and wanting the Bloom Healths and the other private exchange solutions to say, how can we take this strategy? How can we do this and incorporate that into the solution that's going to make it a much more user-friendly experience for our members?
So
Brian, we've got about 2 minutes to go. I want to ask you a quick question about advisors and then have you kind of close some takeaways.
Sure.
You know, with the middle market, advisors are pretty key and pretty essential. Is
yep.
that also one of the barriers, they getting caught up with their knowledge level of an exchange model, et cetera? I mean, we've got a ton of advisors joining us in Dallas. I think that's one indication they're trying to get their arms around this.
Well, the funny thing is that when you look at, you know, the and I assume when you say advisors, you're talking about the broker consultant model.
Yeah, Brian. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, from the broker consultant market, you know, we look at them as an advocate, you know, for our exchanges, you know, through our health plans, and it is an evolving market. At the end of the day, really, a private exchange is just the, you know, kind of technology solution that's going to help facilitate the enrollment of the benefit. So the brokers and consultants could look at the exchange model and see, one, they are still going to be really a part of this solution. They have to help out in determining what potentially is the best technology, the vendor to use, but also to help kind of, you know, create and strategize with their clients, the plan designs around that, how that is going to function, how are we going to help best communicate and educate to the employer and also the employees about this So the broker and consultants are still an integral part of this. And then as you see, as I talked about earlier, that, you know, you're seeing that more employees that go into a private exchange are buying down coverage. It's going to be key for that broker and consultant to be working with that employer to get a better sense of how do we then start to bring in those other products and solutions and ancillary products that are going to help round out that package. You know, it's almost like when you look at employers, you know, before, as when they were not in a private exchange, they were providing this one piece of, you know, big whole pie, and now they're going into a private exchange. That whole pie is still there, but it's just cut up into pieces, and it's up to that employee to be able to choose the pieces that they want. So the broker and consultant community is still really a big part of this, and they're really the driving factor in terms of growing this out in that middle market.
Right, and they have to get by the fact that they may look initially at a loss of commission on the major medical part, but there's an expansion of income opportunities through the complete experience, right?
I definitely would say that. I have a number of broker consultant friends throughout my time in the industry that have built up their own private exchange solution, and they've actually seen their revenue grow a lot over the past few years, primarily because of the revenue coming in from those ancillary products. You know, they may in prior years been solely focused in on the medical side of the house and didn't necessarily focus in on the other products and services that come along with incorporating a full service benefits package for an employee. But then they're starting to see that those and more products more and more are gaining an interest, and there is a lot of revenue to be made. So at the end of the day, I think the broker is made whole and then even be able to grow their revenue as they look at moving to a private exchange solution for their clients.
Yeah, that's good, Brian. Leave our audience with a couple takeaways, and we really appreciate your time on the program today.
Well, yeah, and I appreciate the time as well. You know, the one thing that I would say in terms of, you know, the private exchange market and the upcoming conference is that it is a very dynamic market. I mean, really, private exchanges came on the scene in 2011, 2012, and year over year, month over month. I mean, there is a lot of change going on there from where things were at just a few short years ago to where things are at now to where things are going in a couple of years. It is definitely a dynamic solution that is happening, and I think that the interest and the growth is going to continue to happen more and more. So I'm very excited about it, and look forward to joining everybody in Dallas next week.
Thanks, Brian, for your time, and we will see you. We'll see you soon. We'll see you Monday or so in Dallas, Texas.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Take care, Brian. Good stuff. I think that really validates what I think we're all talking about. I mean, from his perspective too, the middle market, it just makes sense that the middle market move here and take a serious look at it. Both the advisors, where an exchange is a good tool for them and a good income tool for them as they look at it. And then if I'm a CFO, a CEO of a middle market company, you know, I got to say, why am I not looking at exchange? Cost, administrative resources, you know, the complete experience. Ron, what's your thoughts?
Oh, you know, I think that exchanges are part of a mega trend. It's a great idea, and when you have great ideas that the public wants, it's consumer-oriented, that it's going to take off. It may take a little longer than most people may have originally predicted. But, you know, benefit managers are risk-averse. They move slowly because their decisions affect thousands of lives. And so they're going to move cautiously and wait to see how some of these things shake out, see who the good players are, see if the technology is working. But ultimately, it's going to prove out. So I think we see a lot of investment in this marketplace, a lot of companies doing the right things, and we're going to see consolidation in the future. We're going to see better services for the consumer and lower prices, more convenience, administrative savings, compliance issues, all those things that Brian was talking about. It just takes a little longer, usually, in this kind of a a marketplace or part of the marketplace of healthcare benefits than is sometimes expected early on.
Yeah, I think the one exception to that can be the middle market. I think the middle market has some pressing needs and benefits of moving to an exchange maybe quicker than, you know, than some others. And I think that part of that maturing of the technology is the maturing of the complete experience. And in fact, that's a nice segue to our next guest. I'd like to join, welcome to the program, Jake Clear, Director of Benefit Solutions with New Benefits, who will also be with us in Dallas as a speaker and sponsor. Jake, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Nice to have you. What's the weather like in Dallas since we're all joining you over there shortly?
Well, I can't promise that it's going to be this way next week, but today it's a beautiful, sunny 80 degrees. So it's the warmest that it's been in quite some time. So I hope that it continues through next week for everybody that's coming down, or as I should say, for y'all. not originally from Dallas, but I live in Frisco, which is actually where the conference is going to be held. So I'm excited to have everybody down in my hometown.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing you, and we appreciate New Benefits' support. Give the audience a little background on New Benefits, and then we'll talk a little bit more about this telehealth advocacy and transparency piece.
Yeah, perfect. So a little history behind who we are is we're an organization that is put together a group of non-insured benefits. So over the past 26 years, we started in 1990, we've started to build our product portfolio of non-insured health and lifestyle benefits. In 1990, we started as Coast to Coast Vision, saving individuals 15 to 50% off of their vision needs. And today, that discount card is recognized at most of the major vision retailers across the U.S. And so the first 10 years, we were really focused on driving that type of a discount membership or benefit into associations or affinity groups. Whether it was affinity groups or financial institutions, we just continued to see growth in our product portfolio as well. We'd continue to bring on things like dental discounts and pharmacy and build in other non-insured benefits. And we started packaging in some lifestyle products like roadside assistance, et cetera, et cetera. And really, in the early 2000s, our industry started to become regulated, but we also ended up meeting probably one of our most impactful vendors and providers to date, and that's Teladoc. And our CEO was the first individual to get a prescription over the phone. He's got one of those nice little plaques in his office that is kind of a point of pride for our company. And from that moment, from getting that prescription over the phone through Teladoc, he said, you know, we need to figure out a way to work with these guys because there's something here. And we saw the trend, and kind of as an innovator, we continued to offer it to associations and financial institutions. And probably pre-healthcare reform, we started to see some employers that came to us through recognition of maybe having a Teladoc benefit through an association or a financial institution that they were associated with, and said, you know, how do I work on packaging something like this for my employees? And it was funny. We would have those types of conversations with brokers or consultants, and, you know, telehealth growing at that time back in the early 2000s, you would say the question of, have you heard of Teladoc or telehealth? And the response that you would get from, you know, major national names was, no, I haven't. Can you tell me about it? So it's funny to see just how fast this has grown. And today we have, you know, to date 25 million members across the U.S. with one or more of our products in their back pocket. And most of that now, that growth that we see is starting to come from the employer group industry.
And your fit with the exchange is you're bringing the total package to an exchange model, right? I mean, you're bringing the complete non-insured package to an exchange partnership, or, you know, or have an employer that's looking to embrace an exchange model, right?
You're absolutely right. So what we do for our clients is we'll package together a customized solution that they want to drive out to their client base. And so for exchanges specifically, what we're doing is we're taking the advocacy piece, the telehealth piece, maybe some of the other lifestyle benefits like identity theft or global travel assistance or legal services that an employer is looking for, and we're able to package that all as one solution on an exchange. So now the employee doesn't have 10 or, you know, 6 or 7 options to click through and accept or pass. The employer now only has one point of billing for those services. The employee has one point of member services to reach out to at our member services center here in Dallas, Texas. And they're able to really aggregate all of those underneath one customized solution that could be branded either to the employer or to the exchange as an added value of the services they're bringing to that employer or broker that they service.
So you're since this is a non-insured benefit package, are these voluntary or employer-paid benefits?
You know, it's a great question. They can be both, and that's one of the key differentiators. So specifically around telehealth, which is bar none our probably our most sought after benefit, and for obvious reasons, right? We see more of an employer paid opportunity where it is a non-voluntary sale into an employer group these days than we are on a voluntary basis. Traditionally, through most of your telehealth providers, it is employer paid only as the option. But when we're bringing our customized solution, we are able to sell it on a voluntary basis. So while there's the option for both, the employer, because we're looking at such a low dollar amount per employee per month in most cases, they're electing to carry this benefit for their employees. Now, if you go in or a broker goes in or the exchange goes in and has the conversation about budgetary means and the employer says, you know what, it's just not in the budget this year, well, the option is still on the table for a voluntary rollout to see what the employees like and if they like it, if they adopt it, if they use it. And so the nice thing is it's both, but over the past 2-1-1 periods, we've just seen a much higher influx of employer paid compared to voluntary opportunities.
Jake, let me ask you a question, and I don't know the technical answer to this, so excuse my ignorance if I ask it. Since this is non-insured benefits, if I'm an employee, I cannot use my FSA dollars, so correct?
You can't use your FSA dollars to pay for the discount benefit service. However, if there's a consult fee included in the telehealth benefit, you can use your FSA or HSA dollars, your tax-deferred dollars, to pay for that consult fee. If there's a vision discount savings or a dental discount savings built into that, when you go to that vision provider or dental provider, you can still use those dollars at a discounted rate to pay for those services. So while you can't purchase the program itself with your FSA or HSA dollars, you can still pay for some of those end-use services at a discounted rate.
And the same would apply for my HSA, correct?
Correct, yeah. FSA or HSA, it's the same way. You can't actually pay for the benefit, you know, the monthly cost of the discount card, but you can pay for the services at a discounted rate that are qualified medical expenses. So just the same as it would be if you went to your dentist on your DHMO or dental PPO plan, if you're using your dental discount savings card through us, you're able to go ahead and pay for those services with discounted or with your HSA dollars.
That's great. Ron?
Yeah, Jake, I mean, this is pure consumerism from my perspective. It's great
Absolutely.
Stuff that you're doing. How much of your business is going through exchanges as opposed to another distribution source?
You know, truthfully, we're just really breaking the seal on exchanges, and I think that's the case for, and forgive me for saying this, but I think that's the case for a lot of your voluntary programs. So obviously, exchanges started out with all of your core, and then slowly build their, you know, continuing to add in voluntary programs. And, you know, I'm excited to be out at IHC next week where there's going to be a lot more of that discussion around the voluntary programs and the growth that is continued to be seen with the integration with exchanges. For us, it is, a smaller portion of our employer groups because most of our business that comes through employer groups is directly influenced by the brokers who are adding it in. And in a lot of cases, it comes employer paid. So the employee has maybe not a reason to go into the exchange and elect it. It's not being put on the exchange for the employee to go out and have a defined contribution that they need to or use some of those defined contribution dollars to go out and elect it either. So from a standpoint of exchange, we're seeing a breakthrough. We're working with several exchanges to date that are seeing the value. And, you know, we're looking to increase and influence that number.
Yeah,
I think that's what's exciting. Yeah,
Jake, I would echo what you're saying. I think that, you know, the first step for most exchanges was let's get the major medical and some of the core supplemental health pieces in place first. So I think you guys are very well positioned because you're a I mean, I love what you guys are doing. I've followed you guys for many, many years, and I think now the time is even more valid for, the approach the new benefit takes. And that applies to not just the exchanges, but the movement to full replacement and true healthcare consumerism across employers and what advisors are looking to do to help their help their employers kind of build out that benefit offering, for their employees to even fill gaps or look at other solutions like what you're providing.
Absolutely. And I think it comes down to the classes of adopters. You know, there's the innovators, the early adopters, the late adopters, and then the laggards. And I think for a lot of this, we're past the early adoption stage. I was recently at a conference where an employer came up to me, and it was the director of HR came up, and I asked her, have you heard of telehealth? Have you been, looking at implementing a telehealth program? And she responded to me, yeah, we love the idea, but we're just not the early adopters. And I said, well, great, because we're past that stage. So, what's the next step? It's a great point. That's where we're at. It really comes down to the classes of adopters and where are you within that class? Are you the early adopter? Are you the late adopter? Are you the laggard? I think right now we're falling right in between the early adopters and late adopters for a lot of our programs as it comes to either employer groups, brokers, or the exchange market.
Yeah. Ron?
I think the positioning of these products and services along with exchanges is really what's going to take off, because I think in the past many people didn't even know or think to know that they could combine some of this with their existing benefits programs because decisions are being made by their benefit manager, the HR. Now people are going to be able to go to exchanges in the future and make these choices themselves. So this whole new distribution system I see taking off, and I'm glad to see Jake's excited about the Dallas meeting, and I think employers should be picking up on that because this is a whole new evolution. So, Jake, tell our listeners out there who are maybe getting this message for the first time how all this stuff is coming together under exchanges and how it's starting to grow. Where do you see the major products that you offer being sold through the exchange, and maybe some new product ideas that you're going into as you continue to expand your portfolios?
So we really have, I would say, two major suggested bundles when it comes to our employer group model, whether it's direct through employer paid or through the exchange, through an exchange. Our first program is going to be what I like to call a telehealth solution, and that would include something like a teledoc or a telehealth benefit where an employee can get a prescription over the phone and really take advantage of the quality of care, of the convenient access and affordable access, and when I say affordable, I mean in the definition that we knew prior to healthcare reform compared to what we think of as affordable now. Late at night, whenever they need it, they can get access to a physician, get a prescription over the phone for their acute care needs, and then it's a true redirection of that claim for the employer. So not only is the employee getting a huge benefit of quick access to their needs and getting them or their family members back to quicker health, the employer is also diverting that claim away from the health plan. So that's one point. Point two is, adding in an advocacy service program. And we prefer, or we work with Health Advocate Services. They're a great partner of ours, been a great partner of ours for years. But the point is to deliver some answers back to the employees. The question that comes up after you go out to open enrollments or after the employee goes through an enrollment is, 6 months later, do they still understand their responsibility for their deductible? Do they still understand what their maximum out of pocket is? Do they understand the basics? And when I know all of the professional listeners that are logging in or listening to this, they understand absolutely not. In most cases, at least 50 to 60% don't understand their responsibilities when it comes to their plan. And so health advocacy is there not only to guide them through the understanding of their insurance, but also to maybe help them make the right decisions as it comes to their health care, whether it's finding the right provider, finding the best cost provider in their area. And that's not only for them, but all their family members, their parents, and their in-laws. There's also a benefit on there that allows bill negotiation, that negotiates bills for uncovered or out-of-network services over $400. And then we also partner that with another benefit called Doctors Online, which is just a peace of mind benefit. And the way I like to explain it to employers or employees at open enrollment meetings is that when I think about Dodgers Online, I think about, you know, if you or any of your family members go out to the internet once you start to feel ill, self-diagnose, and 10 minutes later leave the internet thinking you have a terminal illness, Dodgers Online is for you. Because it allows you to actually interact with specialists, primary care physicians, OB-GYNs, pediatricians, over all different broad spectrums of, you know, medical needs, to just ask questions and get those peace of mind answers that maybe you don't need to rush out to a specialist or ER visit for, but you just need information and don't want to go through that scary self-diagnosis process. So that's the health benefit package that we see. But growing on the other side of the spectrum that we see is really comes down to identity theft. And we continue to see that growing and growing and growing. And so we have a program through IDT 911 called ID Sanctuary. So we've private labeled a program, and it's called ID Sanctuary. And what that allows is it's the monitoring and restoration of identity. So whether it's credit, whether it's issues that have come through fraud via tax, identity tax fraud, whether it's medical record fraud, any of those types of things, ID Sanctuary is going to be there to assist that member in not only monitoring it, but resolving it. So everyone's heard of LifeLock. IDT 911 is actually 2 years older than LifeLock, and they have a really good spectrum of services. And we partner that with maybe a roadside assistance benefit or another program called Global Travel Assistance, which is now owned by United Health Group, obviously a well-known organization there.
Right. So one of the keys to your success is the marketing is through brokers. What's the benefit for brokers in selling your product? Is there a commission? Is there a fee? Is it just make them be able to sell their other products more effectively? What's the benefit for brokers?
Well, one, I think the benefit is delivering services to their clients that are new, they're unique. I mean, I think brokers are nearing the point of when you get to plan changes and increasing premiums, I think they're nearing the end of some of their options for maybe some of their clients, right? So how do we get our employees or the employees of our clients to engage and become better consumers? And these tools like Teladoc, Health Advocacy, they assist with those things. But not only that, for their benefit, you know, they contract with us for some very low PEPM pricing, and that benefit cost covers the employee and the employee's family. They can offer that program through to their employers at net of commission fees if they want to, or because we are a wholesaler, we're just selling them those benefits at that cost. They can decide what markup they want to place on the benefits. So if they have a benefit technology cost to offset and that they're looking to pay for it for their employer groups, but the employer would like to say, you know, add in a telehealth program, they can add in the telehealth program. They can add in maybe some of that cost that offsets that benefit technology expense for them and kind of help them become whole while still giving the employer a really good benefit that may offset some of their medical costs.
Yep. Great. Jake, listen, we're coming to the end of our program, so
absolutely.
I hate to cut you off, and we look forward to seeing you in Dallas. Leave our audience with a couple thoughts, a couple takeaways you'd like to leave them with, please.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the top one comes to mind is just that classes of adopters. If you haven't looked into telehealth at this point, I think it's time you take a look. Please feel free to stop by our booth down in Dallas. And, you know, when you're looking at these types of benefits, there are a lot of providers that are out there in the marketplace. Make sure you're partnering with the ones that are compliant. I think the growth that we've seen, even specific to telehealth, not even just non-insured benefits in general, is that it's kind of like the gold rush right now. So my suggestion is make sure you're going with the group that has all the right safety equipment in place to make sure you don't get caught up in any compliance or regulatory issues. Let me know if I can be of any assistance, and I look forward to seeing everybody in Dallas. Doug and Ron, thank you so much for your time.
You bet, Jake. We look forward to seeing you, too. And, again, a reminder to what Jake's talking about. You can find new benefits. Jake will be speaking, and you can find them as one of our Innovation Showcase sponsors out there. And we really sincerely, you know, thank you for that support. Keep that weather for us, okay?
Absolutely. I'll do my best.
All right. Have a great weekend. Take care.
Take care, guys.
See you later. Good stuff. Again, another good program, you know, with what's emerging around exchanges and the build out. And I think new benefits, you know, for healthcare consumerism, the type of packages that they, and even some others are putting together is very well timed. I mean, you know, very well timed right now. And I think, Ron, you alluded to it around, I mean, that is really consumerism, you know, enabling.
It really
consumers.
Is. Yeah, there's so much going on. I mean, this is exciting stuff. You can see we talked about Megatrend. The market's maturing. The exchanges are maturing. The products are maturing. I mean, when you talk now, you're talking about packages that include identity theft and compliance issues, discount memberships, Teladoc, all sorts of new products that are out there that consumers might not have really been that aware of or that educated on. Now they're going to have options to trade off dollars maybe from their medical plan where they say, I can take a higher deductible. I'm healthy, my family's healthy, and I need to have identity theft. I'm going to put some dollars into that.
And since I have a higher deductible, I may be more inclined to pick up the phone and call my doctor or access some information via online instead of running to the urgent care or running, more importantly, to the emergency room when I don't need to. So, listen to our audience out there. We thank you for joining us today. For those of us who are going to join us in Dallas, we look forward to seeing you there. We're going to be off next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks with Healthcare Consumerism Radio as the team kind of returns at the end of next week from Dallas. So, thank you all. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you 2 weeks from today on Healthcare Consumerism Radio.